Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Hei. We begin at the two dots on the second line from the very top. And it's Hashem, we'll finish off the perek and start the next perek. So the Gemara begins by quoting the Mishnah. Kosav os achas nutrikon. If a person wrote a single letter as an abbreviation, so example, you wrote an aleph that stood for echad. So Rabbi Shua ben Beseris Machayib, Rabbi Shua ben Beseris says that that's a significant type of writing. The Chachamim poked him. The Chachamim say no, that that's not, and therefore you wouldn't be Chayib Achatas. So the Gemara now is going to begin with other words that are nutrikon. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Riyosi ben Zimra. He says, Minayin lilshon notrikum in a Torah. Where do we find that the Torah uses these shorthand formulations, these abbreviations that express a complete sentence or a complete idea with just a couple of abbreviations? Like we have the WHO, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. Where do we find such ideas in the Torah? So it tells us, Shenemar, ki av hamon goyim nesaticha. Avram is told that he will be the father of many, many nations. So the word av hamon is a notrikon. So first of all, we start off with the aleph, av nesaticha leumos, that I've made you to be the father of all the nations. Then the beis is bachur nesaticha leumos, I've made you into the person that is the chosen one for all of the nations. You've been picked, you've been selected to be the chosen one of all the nations. Then the hey from the word hamon, that stands for chaviv nisaticha bumos. Again, the hey and the ches are interchangeable, and therefore this hey from hamon stands for that you'll be the most dear, you'll be the one that is most loved amongst all the nations. Melech, the mem stands for melech nisaticha bumos, to be the king of all the nations. Vosik nisaticha bumos, you'll be the one that's the most vosik, the most choshu, the most important one. The vasikin are the people that get up early, they're especially important people, very choshu of a people. And neemon nisaticha bumos, and the nun stands for you'll be the most trusted one of all of the nations. Rav Yochanan Didei, this was Rav Yochanan in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Yosef ben Zimra, he himself gave a different mnemonic. He himself gave the following notrikon. Rav Yochanan Didei Amar Anochi notrikon. When it says Anochi Hashem Elokecha, so that means in the beginning of the Seres HaDibros, so the word Anochi is Aleph Nun Chof Yud, and it comes to tell us, it's a notrikon over here, Ono Navshi Kisivas Yehovis. That's the abbreviation, Aleph Nun Chof Yod, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I, Nafshi, so to say, by myself, Ksivas, I wrote, and Yehovis, and I gave to you all the Torah. The Rabbanim don't like this for various reasons, and they have it a little bit differently. They don't want it to look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wrote with his hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have hands. So obviously we use anthropomorphisms to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 13 Ikarim of the Rambam is that Ein Lo Guf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a guf. So they didn't want this type of a language. The Rabbanim Amrei, Amira Ni'ima Kisiva Yehiva. So then they say the abbreviation Notrikon of Anochi stands for that with Amira, I just said, with a beautiful ne'ima, very, very pleasant type of way of saying it, the Torah was written down, and then the Torah was Yehiva, was given. Alternatively, you could do it backwards. You could, instead of reading Aleph Nun Chof Yud, you could read Yud Chof Nun Aleph, and you would read it in this way, Yehiva, I gave to you this kesiva, this writing, and ne'amonim amareh, and the words of the Torah are obviously something that is extremely ne'amon, extremely believed, extremely trusted. Okay. Alternatively, we have another nutrikon. Divei Rav Nosson Omar, Amre, in the base manager of Nosson, they said, Ki yorat haderech lenegdi. Bilam was told by the Malach, how come you're upset at your donkey over here? Your donkey sees more than you do. Ki yorat haderech lenegdi. So the letters Yorat, Yud, Resh, Tes stand for Yorah, that the donkey was afraid, Rosa, because he saw the Malach, and Notza, and therefore he veered off the route, and he didn't go in the straight path, and that's why Bilam was upset. And Bilam himself didn't see this. The donkey saw more than Bilam. Others darshan it more homiletically, but that's the simple taich over here. Finally, the name of Yishmael tongue, the base medrash of Yishmael, they dash in the word Carmel, right? Koli v'Carmel. So you have to bring the Korban Omer. It has to come from Carmel. What does Carmel mean? So the pasuk can be darshaned over here, Carmole, that the grain over here of the Omer has to be mole. It has to be very full, very filled up. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, he darshaned, V'hu kilani kilolo nimretzes. when David was running away, so Shimi ben Gera cursed him, right? Shimi ben Gera was the head of the Sanhedrin, but he was an opponent of David HaMelech, and ultimately he got his due, and he had cursed David HaMelech. And David HaMelech said, "Hu kilani," he cursed me with this klola nimretzes. What does it mean, a klola nimretzes? So he dashes that also as a notrikon. Ravacha Bar Yaakov says this is a notrikon for the letters of nimretzes stand for, the nun stands for noef, who he accused David of having committed adultery, doing niyuf with Bathsheba. Moaviyahu, he said he didn't even have a proper lineage. He came from Rus HaMoaviyah, and there was a famous machlokis, whether you say Moaviv or Moavis or not. That was a raging machlokis in the Beis Medrash. And Shimi ben Gera Potkin, that no, even the daughter of a Moavis is not allowed to come into the klal. So he called him a Moavi, but it's not allowed to come into the klal. Called him a Rotzeach, that he killed Bathsheba's husband. And he called him a tzorer, he was an enemy of the Jewish people, and he called him a toeva, a person who committed, terrible toevos over here. So he accused them of doing all of these terrible things, and that's what David said, he did a klol nimretzes, he attacked me in a horrible way. And finally, Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak Omar, man edaber uman etzadok. When Yosef brought Binyamin back after he had the special coast that he claimed Binyamin had stolen, so Yehuda spoke to Yosef Atzadik and he said, man edaber, what can I say, uman etzadok? How can I tell you that we are tzadikim? So he says the word netzadik. Rav Nachum Yitzchak says the word netzadik over here is also a play, a notrikon on the letters. He says the nun stands for nechonim anachnu. We are upright people. We are nechonim. We are good people. We're correct. Tzadikim anachnu. We're righteous people. Tahorim anachnu. We're tahorim. We're very holy people. And the Dakim Anachnu, another type of holy, another type of a very pure people. And Kidosh Anachnu, another type of holiness. So in other words, he was saying, how dare you accuse us of all of these things? We are, in fact, Nitzadok. Okay, we finished the parak with the next Mishnah. Akosei Shtei Osios B'Shtei Helomos. Now, we had this previously as well. If one writes two letters over here in Helam Echad, but he writes them not at the same time. Achas Shachris V'Achas Ben Arbayim. He writes one during Shachris and one during the afternoon. So he writes them many hours apart. Rabbi Gamliel is l'chayef. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, he wrote two letters, behelam echad, and therefore he's chayef. The Chacham potter, but the Chacham say, no, he's potter in this situation, he's not chayef achatas. What's the machlokes? Mamai kamif ligi, what are the argument? The word says, Rabbi Gamliel sovar, and you deal lechatzishir. Rabbi Gamliel says that the knowledge that he had in between, right, what happened, what's the case talking about? He wrote in the morning without realizing it's Shabbos. Then he finds out it's Shabbos in the middle of the day. But then he goes to sleep and he wakes up and he finds out it, and he forgets that it's Shabbos. And he writes another letter. So Rabbi Gamliel says his yediyah was only for the chatzi shir. He had written a shir and then he wrote a chatzi shir. He wrote the other half afterwards. That's yediyah in between is not called yediyah. We had this previously, ein yediyah lechatzi shir. The fact that he knew it was Shabbos, but he didn't know it for the entire shir. So therefore, they two can still combine, and that's why Rav Gamliel says you be chayav achatos. Rabbanan Savri, no, yesh yediyah lechatzi shir. What difference does it make? You have to do it behelam echad. What difference does it make that he only knew for half of the shir that it was Shabbos? No. The bottom line is, he didn't do the whole thing behelam echad. It wasn't all done with the same forgetfulness. It was two separate forgetfulnesses because he... Rabbanim hold that yesh yediyah lechatzi shir, and therefore, in this situation as well, a person is going to be chayiv. We finish the parak, hadron lecha abona, hadron lecha abona, hadron lecha abona, and we begin the next parak. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, here we discuss in this 13th parak, weaving. Now, weaving is not something that we are very familiar with at all, and even those that are in the modern weaving business, they weave garments, it's all done through machines, and we don't have any real familiarity over here with the way that they did the weaving process. There is a beautiful sefer, that discusses the whole weaving process, but we're not going to go into that much detail. I'm going to speak more in terms of some general ideas without getting that specific in terms of the weaving process, because most of this is not halacha lemaisa, in terms of we don't do most of these things anymore. The concepts behind them are important, but not the actual mechanism of the way the weaving was done in those days. In any event, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, we start off here with Rabbi Eliezer telling us the minimal amount that the shear is. We've been going through all these prokhim, through all these mishnayis, telling us what is the minimal amount of the shear that a person's chayav achatas for. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ha'oreg shlosha chutim betchila. When you're starting to make a garment, you have to weave three of these threads together, that's considered a significant amount. If you do only one or two, that's not considered a significant amount. However, the achas al-orik, if you already have a garment and you add on just one additional thread, so that is considered something significant because you already have something substantive to start off with. So that's the opinion of Eliezer. He says, when you're doing it at the beginning, you need three. But if you already have something, you only need one. The Chum disagree with both of these. The Chum say, no. Bein b'tchila, bein b'sof. Whether you're talking about when you're starting or whether you're talking about... Now, b'sof doesn't mean when you're ending it, because then you'd be chayef makar. But patish, Tosos points out. In Tosos, in Dira Maskel Oreg, he says, it actually was a girsa. It was incorrect. That some said, bein tchila, bein be'emtza. Bein besof, because that would imply that be'emtza meant in the middle and besof meant at the end. But he says that can't be, because that would imply that besof was makar b'patish, and he'd be chayev even for one if it was makar b'patish. So the girsa that we have, Tosa says, is correct, which is that whether you're doing it betchila, meaning when there's nothing there, so you're starting the garment, or any place else in the garment, not the makar b'patish, not the last thread, but any other time, both for the beginning or any other time, bein b'chil, bein b'sof, the shear is shiro shnei chutim. You have to sew two threads together. That is considered something that is significant. Besides that, if you do less than that, it's not considered significant. Whether it's even at the in the middle of it or at the beginning, even two is considered enough. So the Chachamim argue the realize it on both scenarios. Then it tells us, ha'ose shtei bote nirin. Now, here we have to know a little bit about the weaving process. The weaving process has these vertical threads called the chassis threads. They go across the loom, and you have every other one has to be lifted up. So let's say we'll take the odd numbers. You have thread number 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. And then you have threads 2, 4, 6, and 8. So you want to thread the horizontal threads, which are known as the Erev threads. They call them the heft threads. So these have to go in between each one. So you can individually snake it through. You go above one, below two, above three, below four, and do this hand by hand individually, and it'll take you forever to go and make a garment. So they had a contraption whereby they would lift up threads 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 and toss the thread. They would take the shuttle and toss the thread through it. The even threads would be down, the odd threads would be up, they would pass it through, then they would flip it around. They would make the even threads now go up and the odd threads go down and pass it back the other way. They would take the shuttle with the thread and throw it back the other way. So that's how they would make the horizontal threads. Now this way, now it wasn't only four threads, it could be 100 threads. So this way they would do it much faster instead of having to interweave each individual horizontal thread up and down through every individual vertical thread. They did all the odd threads up, then they did all the odd threads down, and they would pass the shuttle with the thread back and forth, and this way they would weave much, much faster. Today, again, this is all done with machines. But in those days, they would do it in this fashion. So this shnei batei nirin over here are two of these vertical threads that are being lifted up. So when you do this, that's considered a significant act. And you do this either benirin, we'll see what that means when we get to the Gemara, or you do it bekiros, or you do it benafa, or you do it bekavra, or you do it besal. These are all different types of ways of weaving over here. So the set amount is that you have to do shtei batinir. You have to lift up two of these vertical threads in order for it to be significant. Chayev. And this way, you did an act of weaving that is a significant act to be chayev achatas. Finally, the mission concludes and says that tofer shtei tefiros, if you sew, sewing is different than weaving, if you're sewing over here, in and out, so then that is considered significant. That's called tefira. That's the minimum amount for tefira. And likewise, v'hakorei, if you have to rip something, al menas litvor shtei tefiros, the amount of ripping that's considered significant, it's a positive act, is ripping over here is not destructive, it's a constructive act that you're ripping over here in order to make two threads sewn together. You have to rip it first sometimes before you can sew it. More will explain, you have some extra material here, so you have to cut the material and then sew the remaining parts together. So this is also a significant amount, is if you cut the amount that you need to go sew two threads together, it's considered significant as well. Now, Gemara starts off and says, Ki also Rav Yitzhak, when Yitzhak came from Eretz Yisrael to Bava, so he said, Tani Shtayim, so he said that the minimal amount that you have to have is two threads over here. Hi, Gemara says, Our Gemara said, now this is not the opinion of the Chacham, this is the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. So he said, two threads. Our Gemara said three threads. Shalosh. So there seems to be a steer in the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak versus our Mishnah as to what Rebbe Eliezer's opinion was. Gemara says, lo kasha. There's no problem in reconciling these two over here. Habalime, one of these versions, we'll see in a moment which one, deals with very big threads, thicker threads, and Habiktini, one deals with thinner threads. And where it says, Amrei lo lahai gisa. You could learn it both ways over here. We're not necessarily going to learn it only that the thick threads are one and the thin threads are the other. You could possibly learn it both ways. What do we mean by that? So the Gemara says, Amrei lo lahai gisa, Amrei lo lahai gisa. So, alime tlosa. You could learn it out that the thick threads are requiring three, because lo sorry, because you need three of them together in order for it not to become untied. However, tray, the thicker threads, they're bigger, so they'll untie. Sometimes if a person has thick shoelaces, right? So they become untied more easily. So the thicker threads, they actually become untied more easily. And unless you have three of them, it's not going to stay together, and therefore it's not considered a permanent act, and therefore it's not considered something to be chayv chatas and Shabbos. So the first version is that our Mishnah is talking about thick ones, and therefore you need three. Trey, story, because two would easily become untied. However, katini, the smaller threads, trey, nami, los, sorry, because they're tighter, they're thinner, so they can be more continuously placed, even with only two. Therefore, when Rav Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael, he said there that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is two. So that's one way to understand this. Rami lo lahai gisa, or you can learn it the other way. No. Ketine, the very thin threads, aren't going to be easily recognized that you did something constructive over here with just two because they're so small. So you need tlaso yedi. You need three in order to be able to be recognized that you did something. Trelo yedi. Two don't look like it's recognizable. However, the alime, the thick ones, even trey, nami yedi, two are very noticeable because they're thicker. And therefore, the two that we brought down from Eretz Yisrael is talking about the thick threads. And the three in our Mishnah, that's talking about the thin threads. So again, one of them is talking about three, one of them is talking about two, but lav davka, it has to be learned one way, it can be learned either of the two ways. Mark continues, says, Tanya, we learn in a brisa. The person makes three of the threads at the beginning. He starts off the garment. Or the echod al ha'orig, or if it's already an existing garment and he adds on an additional thread, chayev. That's exactly the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. The Chacham disagree. They say, Bein betchila bein mesof, as we had in our Mishnah. The Braisa is supporting what we said in our Mishnah. Doesn't make a difference whether you're starting off the garment or whether you're adding on to an already existing garment, shirun shtei chutim. The shir is two threads, always two threads. Uba sofa, and when you're doing it on the edge over here, the sofa is like the hem. So in that situation, shnei chutim, you have to have two threads. Berochav shlosha botinirim. So you have to have two threads, but it has to be a certain distance. It has to be the distance of three botinirim. So you have to lift up over here three of these vertical threads, the chassis threads, and pass through it a distance of three of these threads, the two threads. So again, your horizontal and vertical, it's going to be two by three. Holomaze dome, what is this comparable to? So l'orig tzulzu kotim, when you do this amount, you're going to make a very small belt over here, and therefore, shtei chutim rochav shlosha batinirim, there's two threads over here, over a distance of three threads, the two horizontal threads, over a distance of three vertical threads, that's considered something significant. Okay. Then the Gemara says, V'oreg shlosha chutim betchila. If you go and from the start, you need to do three threads, the echad al orig chayev. Again, that's the opinion over here that we brought down. So the stam opinion over here, stama ki Rabbi Eliezer. That stam opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Fine, that's what the Braisa said, as we pointed out. Tanidach, another Braisa says, Ha'orek shtei chutin, if a person does two chutin, al hagas, if he does two chutin, he adds on to an already gas, an already orig harbe, Rashi says, already has a garment. And if you add on two threads to it, or ala imra, the imra is like the edge also. It's similar to what we had before when you're talking about the sofa, the hem. So ala imra is on the edge or the side of a new garment. So in other words, you're starting the garment. So then chayiv. So here, the Tanakama is going to be the opinion of the Chachamim, because it says whether you're already adding it onto an existing garment or whether you're starting from the edge and you're making the garment from there. So in other words, it's a brand new garment, two. Two is the amount. Chayev. That's the opinion of the Chacham. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Elazar Omer Afilu Echad. He says when you're starting off with the gas, so then you only have to add one. Or Besafa, when you're starting off at the Imra, at the Safa, you need to do two, because you need to do three rather. Shnei Chutim Berochav Shlosha Batinir, because you have to do two horizontal ones over the distance of three vertical ones. So therefore, Chayev. In that situation, you're going to be Chayev. So again, what would you possibly use that for? La'orek tzilsu katan, again, for a small little belt, and that requirement is shnei chutim, two of these horizontal threads going over distance, aroch of shlosha batinir, over the distance of three vertical threads. Fine. So Gemara says, la'orek shnei chutim alagas, who was the author over here of this Mishnah that was Stam, the Tanakama? So it said two is enough. Vala Imra, also two. So therefore, chayev, you're chayev in that situation for doing two, whether it's the beginning or whether it's in the middle, stomach or bottom. This Mishnah, the Stam Tanakama opinion, is the opinion of the Chacham. Okay. Then we said, also shtei batinirin v'chulei. So we said, if you did the shtei batinirin, if you didn't batinirin or bakiros, benapa, bekabra, besal, you're going to be chayiv. So what is each of those things? So we'll explain some of them. Gemara says, my banirin. What does it mean when you do it banirin? So Amar Abaye explains that we're dealing over here with the following. We're dealing with tarte bebave dira, v'chado benira. Now let's look at Rashi. The Rashi is found a little bit next to where we are, and it says v'tarte bebave nira v'chado benira beis pa'amim markiv l'chut shel shesi. You're taking over here the vertical thread and you're wrapping it around in the hole in the thing that lifts it up, in the circle that lifts it up, bebas nira. And that's, you're wrapping it around twice, and then the achaz benira, and an additional time upam shlishes markivo al chut hanira. You wrap it one more time. So in this situation, that is what's called haose shtei batinirin banirin. That's how you do this. So you're doing it twice. You're wrapping it around the actual ring, and then one time you wrap it additionally around itself. That's the opinion that he brings down over here. Similarly, when he talks about bakiros, what does that mean? My bakiros. So I'm a rav. This is something called mitsuvisa. So this, Rashi explains, is birios. They would go and weave over here these curtains. So this process over here that you're doing this is, when you're making curtains, that's what it means over here, the shtei batinirin bakiros. And similarly, benapa, bakabra, basal. Those are other types of things that you're weaving over here, these various types of sieves or baskets. Okay. Then it said, "Vatofer shtei tviros." If a person goes and he sews two stitches, so then in and out, so that's considered significant. So Moshe says, "Ha tenena ba'avos melachos." We already learned that. So how come you're telling it to me again? "Vatofer shtei tviros." We learned that. Why is our Mishnah repeated? We had that previously, and when we learned the av melachos, what's new over here? Where it says, Bishum de Koboy Lemis the Sefer, because the Kiddush is, it's going to tell us at the end over here, HaKoreya Aunas Lidfor Shtei Tviros. It had to teach us the ripping part. So therefore, it taught us the stitching, and then it taught us the ripping part. Therefore, Ketani Nami HaTofer. So it repeated it again and told me HaTofer, because you're right, we learned that previously, but the Kiddush over here was for the ripping. Where it says, HaKoreya, we also learned. HaKoreya Hanami Tinina, Bavas Malachos. We also learned that in the Avas Malachos. So why are you repeating both of them? Both of them are unnecessary. Where says, nope, it's not unnecessary. The Chiddush is HaKorea B'chamosu. Now, the Sefer over here means the next Mishnah, which we're going to start soon. So there it's going to tell us, Mishum Dekoboy L'misna V'sefer, it's going to tell us in that Mishnah, HaKorea B'chamosu, if a person rips something in anger, or Vameso, Nebuch, a person loses a relative, and he's upset, and he rips his clothing because he's upset. And there we'll learn what the dinam are. So therefore, since it wanted to introduce that in the next Mishnah, so therefore it repeated the basic thing, where you're chayev, so it can teach us the dinam where you're not going to be chayev. Therefore, Ketani, Atofer, Shtei Tviros, it taught us our Mishnah again, even though we learned it previously. Then it tells us, that if a person rips something in order, it should be a constructive act, in order they should sew, so then you're going to be chayiv. Where do you find such a situation that a person rips something? So we turn to the Amud Beis, the Ovda Ki Kisisa. When you're doing this over here, when you're making a beged, so Rashi explains, in Ki Kisisa, Holeches Umis Kapeles. Sometimes, when you're making the garment, you're going to get extra folds of the garment that you're going to have to cut them away. And then when you cut them away, you now have to stitch the two remaining pieces together. So he says sometimes it's like an outcropping, like a pocket. That's why it's called kissa. So it looks like a pocket almost, and you don't want a pocket over there. So therefore, you have to cut away the extra part and make the stitches. So as long as you're cutting away something that you can make two stitches in, that's called a positive act of koreya almanas litvor. Next Mishnah. This is the Sefer that we just spoke about. So here we have the Mishnah. This is why the reason why it wrote Tzvira and then Kriya, why it tells us stitching and ripping to stitch, because those are chayev as opposed to this, which are not. Hakorea b'chamasov, somebody rips something in anger, right? Sometimes you get into a mood and you just want to rip something, right? So hakorea b'chamasov, somebody rips in anger. He's not interested in ripping in a constructive act. He's ripping in a deconstructive act. At least that's the havamin over here. Or v'amesa nevach, somebody loses a relative, so he's very upset and he rips something, right? We rip kriya when a person, rachmanu l'islam, passes away, when the zayin krovim, other situations as well. So if you're ripping kriya, anybody doing a totally non-constructive act, you're doing something that's a destroying act. So, Turim, in this situation, you're not going to be chayv achatzas. You're being chayv achatzas. It has to be a constructive act. And here, you're doing a destructive act. So, therefore, you're not going to be chayv. However, if you're doing a destructive act in order, again, lesakin, to do a constructive act, so then, like we had, Korea Amanas Litvar, Shiro Kimisakin, whatever the shir is for doing the constructive act, that would be the same shir for doing this destructive act that's done for the purpose of a constructive purpose. Mishnah says the following are the shirim for these types of additional av malachos that we do in terms of the making of wool for the weaving. So, shear hamalabe, the amount that you have to go and whiten. What's the shear for the whitening malabe? Menapeitz was, we said, like combing it out to untangle the different threads. Hatsoveya, to dye the threads. Vatove means to spin the threads. All of these, the amount that's considered significant that you do, that you're going to be chayv chatas, is if you did it on kimelo rochav asit kofu. Now, rochav asit, we had already pointed out previously, is the distance, if you spread wide, you point the finger and your middle finger, the distance between the two of them is called the rochav asit. So the amount that you'd have to do over here, the whitening or the untangling or the dyeing or the spinning, is twice that. Kofel, a rochav asit kofel. So the distance between when you spread your pointer finger and your middle finger apart, so that distance between them, 2 inches, let's say, so double that, 4 inches. If you whiten something, if you untangle, spin, or dye something of that size, that's considered a significant act. For orech shechutim, and likewise, if you're weaving something, how much do you have to weave? Va'oreg shtei chutin, shiro kimlo asit. Also, you have to do this mlo asit. That's considered a significant weaving of the two threads. Okay. Morris starts off and says, Ruminu, there seems to be a stira between the following braisa and our Mishnah. Now, our Mishnah said, Hakorei b'chamoso meso is potter. But the braisa says, Yechayev, Hakorei b'chamoso uvi evlo v'al meso, or if somebody's an avelos, or somebody's doing kriya on his mace. And before I should say, this doesn't make any sense. Evlo is almeso. So some leave out the vav, and they say, ube evlo almeso. In his avelos, he's crying, he's tearing, because over here of the mace. So it's really one thing, it's not two things. In any event, this braisa says, if you kori b'chamaso, you kori b'evlo, you chayiv. That's the exact opposite of our Mishnah. And the braisa continues and says, v'afu bishim chalas shabbos. And even though when you're doing this, Mechal Shabbos, and normally if you're doing a Chil Shabbos, you can't get any credit for it, so to say. Nevertheless, Yotzi de Kriya, this person who's doing the Kriya here on Shabbos, doesn't have to do another Kriya after Shabbos for his mace. He was Yotze ripping Kriya for his mace. So that doesn't make a lot of sense, and the Gemara says there's a contradiction over here between our Mishnah and this Brisa. They seem to be exactly opposite. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, no, there's no problem. Why? Habi Meis di Day. When the Brisa says that you're chayev over here, it's talking about one of the Zion Krovim. And therefore, you have an obligation to do this. And therefore, when you do rip Kriya over here, so then you're actually doing a positive thing. You're doing a mitzvah. And therefore, your ripping Kriya is not considered a destructive act. It's considered a constructive act. And therefore, that's why the Braisa says Yechayev. As opposed to the Mishnah, the Mishnah is talking about some stam mace. So you have no obligation to do Kriya. If you do Kriya, it's a purely destructive act. Now, obviously, we skipped that Korei B'chamah, so we'll get to that in the Gemara. We started off with the Misa part. Gemara says, that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, al meso. So therefore, v'ha meso k'tani. Our Mishnah said meso. So you can't give me that the answer. The Bryce is talking about his mace, and the Mishnah is talking about somebody else's mace. Our Mishnah said al meso. Of course, you're right. Lo lo b'meis today. It is talking about his mace. It's talking about somebody that is a relative of his. However, u'bahanach the lav b'nei avelus nenu. It was one of the relatives, but not one of the Zion relatives. So it's talking about a cousin. So you don't rip kriya for a cousin, but he's still close with his cousin. So therefore, it's called meiso, but not somebody that he's obligated to. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah says you're not chayev in this situation. Mara adds, v'ichacham hu, but if the person who was Nebuch passing away is a Talmud Chacham, so then chiyuvei mechayev. Then you have to rip kriya for Talmud Chacham as well. D'tanya, because within the Braisa, Chacham shemesa kol krovav. Everybody's considered a relative of the Chacham. So you have the Gadol Hador passes away, so everybody can technically rip kriya. The Rebbe of someone's shul passes away, so he's the Talmud Chacham, hakol krovav. Everybody's considered his relative. Someone says, Hakol Krovav, Sakadaitach? Everybody is his relative. Someone says, Elayma, Hakol Kikrovav, as I explained. It doesn't mean everybody is literally his relative. It means everybody's considering him like a relative. He's such a great Talmud Chacham. So everybody considers him to be a relative that you'd have to rip kriya for. Someone says, Hakol Korin Olav, you have to go for this Talmud Chacham. Everybody has to go rip kriya for him. Hakol Cholzim Olav, everybody has to go. They did something called Cholzim. Now, Rashi explains over here, the word Cholzim means, Dibur HaMaschel Cholzim, Yotzim Lefonov Chalutze Kosef Chaluko Korua Ad Sheksefo Chalutza Aruma. They would bare their shoulders. Again, they would wear various cloaks and togas. They didn't have shirts like we do. So they would bare one shoulder as a sign of avelus. So everybody had to do this for this Talmud Chacham. And likewise, I call Marvin of Berchava. They would have the Sudas Havara out in the street. So therefore, everybody had to do this for Talmud Chacham, not just the Avelim. So it seems over here that our Mishnah is talking about a chiyuv, an obligation as well. So the stira that we tried to resolve between the Mishnah and the Braisa said that you have to do a kriya, and therefore you're chayiv, and our Mishnah is saying you don't have to do kriya. No. Our Mishnah seems to be talking about somebody you have to do kriya for as well. So Gemara says, Lo tzricha, the lav chacham. You know what we're talking about over here? He wasn't a Talmud Chacham, and therefore there was no obligation to do kriya. Gemara says, wait a second. Let's say he's not a Talmud Chacham. The Adam Koshihu, even if he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, but he's a Eilich a person. He's an Adam Kosher. So Chiyuv and Mechayiv, you also have to rip kriya for an Adam Kosher. The Tanya. Bipnei ma meisim bonavu v'nosu shal Adam kishen k'tan. Rechmonu l'tzlan lo aleinu. Why does a person sometimes lose his children when they're young? Kidei sheyivke, to teach him to cry, v'yis abel al Adam Kosher, to teach him how to mourn. And this way, if an Adam Kosher dies, he'll know how to mourn. He says, what? That makes no sense whatsoever. Kidei sheyivke, to teach him to cry? Arvonu ashak libinei. It's like we're taking a pikadon from him, that we want to teach you how to do something, so we're going to give you a horrible thing. Rechmonu l'tzlan lo aleinu, to take away somebody's children, so he'll know how to be misabel for an adam kosher. He says, no, that you misunderstood. Ela mipnei shelo bocha visabel al adam kosher. Since you didn't go and cry and probably mourn Adam Kosher, an Elich, a person who passed away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, I'll give you a reason to mourn. Now, Rachmana Litzlan, we don't say over here that something like this could happen because you did something wrong and your children will die. So the answer I've always heard from my Rebbein, which I think is a very, very good philosophy, a very good approach to these things, is that normally there are certain things that might protect you from having a terrible calamity come upon you. You deserve to have this terrible calamity for whatever the reason. We don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. But sometimes there's certain things that can protect you. The Torah is Megan, a mitzvah can be Megan, a midah can be Megan. Mida can be Megan, you do certain things, so it's not right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish you in this way, whatever it is. There's some things that are like super judicial that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you deserve this punishment. The Midas HaDin would say this, but the Midas HaRachamim is going to make it that you don't get this punishment. So here, this person, Nebuch, deserved to lose his children for whatever the reason. We don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does these types of things, but that was the Din. Maybe the Midas HaRachamim would have been able to protect this person if he had been misabel for this Adam Kosher properly. Hashem would have said, since you already mourned properly for somebody else, I'm not going to give you another reason to mourn. But since this person didn't mourn another person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to let the Midas HaDin occur over here. In any event, that's the understanding of Yemenei Shalom Bacha, V'Hisabal Adam Kosher. You didn't go in the past and do this, therefore now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you something to cry about. The Braisa says, should call a bochel Odom Kosher, because if somebody goes and probably cries over an Odom Kosher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu views that in a very positive way, says, yeah, you recognize the importance of being an Odom Kosher, even if you or me not be, but at least you ascribe to be an Odom Kosher by bochel for an Odom Kosher, so therefore, mochel lo akol avon asov. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to forgive you for the sins that you may have done. Bishul kovet sha'asa, because you did this great kovet over here, so I'm going to forgive you. That's the understanding. So therefore, again, the stira returns. The person in our Mishnah is an Adam Kosher. How come you didn't have to do Avelis for him? Why aren't you Chaya for the Kriya? So he says, Lo Tzvich, the Lav Adam Kosher. Our Mishnah is talking about Al Meso. It's not an Adam Kosher. He's not a Talmud Chacham. He's not an Adam Kosher. He's not one of the Zion Krovin. Shmuel says, however, even if he's not an Adam Kosher, not a Talmud Chacham, he's not one of your relatives, if you were around when the person passes away, you also have to do Kriya. The person is in the room when the person passes away, you should rip Kriya. The Tanya, Rishim Elazar Omer, the Brisa states, if you're standing with the mace as he becomes a mace, as the person passes away, so Chayav L'Kro, you have to go and rip your garments. Shmuel says, why? Because the Sefer Torah, this is comparable to a Sefer Torah Shenisifah. If you're there when a Sefer Torah is burned, so then you have to rip your garments. It's a terrible thing, right? If you're in the room when a Sefer Torah falls down, Rechem Al-San, so you have to fast. You didn't do anything. You didn't drop the Sefer Torah. You didn't burn the Sefer Torah. Just being in the presence of that is a terrible thing. So too, an Adam, a person, is like a Sefer Torah, right? So therefore, you have to rip Kriya when that person passes away. So our Mishnah, again, the Kasha returns, our Mishnah is talking about just being present when the person dies. So how come you're not chayev? So Gemara says, no, you weren't present. No, you weren't there when the time that he passed away. He wasn't the Nerul Chayyid. He wasn't the Talmud Chacham. He's not one of the Zion Krovim. That's the difference between our Mishnah. It says you're potter for Al Avelo, Al Meso, and the Braisa that says you're chayev. It was dealing with one of these things. Gemara says, okay, great. Tenach Meso. We finished off the discussion about the mace. Ella Chamaso, Achamaso Kasha. I said, we get back to this. Our Mishnah says, if you rip in anger, you're potter. And the Braisa said, if you rip in anger, you're chayev. How come? So Gemara says, Chamaso, Achamaso, Nami lo Kasha. There is no problem over here. Why is that? One is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, and one is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbi Shimon. How does that answer it? The Gemara says, the Braisa, which says that Yechayev, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, why? Damar melocha shena tzricha l'gufa, chayev la. He says, this is the melocha shena tzricha l'gufa. You don't need this ripping. You're ripping out of anger, but you don't need this ripping. But you did a melocha. And even though ain't tzricha l'gufa, you don't need it in any way, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso says Yechayev. And our Mishnah is Ha, Rabbi Shimon, who always holds throughout Shas. Damar melocha shena tzricha l'gufa, potter la. If you do a melocha and you have no need for that melocha, so then in this situation, you are potter. Again, you're not allowed to do this. You're potter of a lotzer, even according to Rabbi Shimon, but you're not chayev isa daraisa. Shmuel says, wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda says, melocha shena tzricha l'gufa, Yechayev, but he says, Ema d'shamas le Rabbi Yehuda, when does Rabbi Yehuda say that you're chayev from loch shenas yud gufa? It's when you're fixing it in some way, the mesakim, the makalkel, doing this destructive act over here. Mishamaslay, who says Rabbi Yehuda holds like that? So Amar Rav Avin, hay nami mesakim. Rav Avin says, no, even in this situation, this ripping b'chamaso is a tikkun for this person. It's a constructive act. Why? The kavin nachas ruach liyitzro, because he blows off his anger. So therefore, he's calming himself down by ripping. Gotta rip something, and he rips something, and he feels better. So therefore, the ripping is actually constructive, not deconstructive. What says really? Uchai gab the mishari. Is a person allowed to act like this? For Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Mishum Chilfa Baragra. Rav Shimon Elazar said in the name of this Talmud Chacham, Chilfa Baragra, and he said, Shama Mishum Riochim Nuri, he said the following, Hamakareya Begodav V'chamasov, somebody rips clothing in anger, or Vamashabi Kelu V'chamasov, or you smash some utensil, you break a cup, you throw a cup against the wall in anger, or Mephazim Osu V'chamasov, or he rips up money in anger, he throws his money away in anger. Yehei Benechak Ovid Azara, such a person is like an Ovid of Azara. This is the way of the Yetzara. This is the way the Yetzara gets to a person. The Yetzara tells you, today, do this. Tomorrow, he tells you to do this. Until you go along the way of the Yetzara, little bit, until he finally gets to the point where he tells you to worship of Avodah Zarah. In other words, don't do these destructive acts. They're going to lead you to terrible things. And Amar Rabbi Yavin, what's this based upon? Micro, what's the source of this? Lo yeh b'cho Kelzor, Velosistachavel, El Nechor. There should be no, it was Elzor, a foreign god, it wasn't the Lashon of Kedusha, it should have said Elzor, Velosistachavel, El Nechor. You shouldn't go and bow down to these false idols, these false gods. So, Ezu Elzor, Sheish Begufu Shaladam, what's an example of this Elzor that you have within sight of you, Begufa Shaladam? So that means Hevi Yomer is the Yitzhar. The Yitzhar is like the Elzor over here. It's telling you to do this. So this isn't a good thing. So how can you tell me that this is a constructive act? It's a terrible thing. So Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, you're right. The Ka'ovid Lemirma Ensa Ain She Beisei. No, you know, there's another reason a person can show anger. You know what that is? You want to demonstrate anger. You're not angry, but you want to demonstrate to others that you're upset about something, so you give a show of anger. I remember one of our Rebbeim would sometimes speak harshly to a student in class that wasn't listening, and then he would turn to the other side of the room and smile. So in this way, he demonstrated, I'm not really angry. I'm yelling at this student, but out of love and not out of anger. So this is a very important idea. So you want to, you know, cause the people to understand that you're angry with them, but you don't want to do this with real anger. So you know what he did over here? He ripped his garment in order to be a constructive act, according to Rav Yehuda, because he wanted to demonstrate his anger, but he wasn't really angry. And therefore, there's no Avodah Zarah, there's no Yetzahara aspect over here. Kyod Rav Yehuda, Shalat Mitzuviyasa, Rav Yehuda would take off his Mitzuviyasa. Rashi says this was the Matzivusa, this cloak that we were talking about before that he made with the weaving, and he would take it off, he would pull off the mitzvayasa, he would pull off part of the garment, he would rip part of the garment to show everybody he was angry. But he wasn't angry. Avachar Yaakov, Tavra Mani Tavire, he would break broken utensils. And therefore, he wanted to demonstrate to them, I'm upset, but not, I'm upset at what you did. I'm not personally upset and angry. So we'd break a broken utensil. We're on Shabbos, we talked about they broke a very expensive glass. So the Ben Yehuda said over there when they broke it under the chuppah because there was too much lightheartedness. So the Ben Yehuda says they broke an already broken piece of glass. Nobody else knew it. So they thought they were breaking an expensive piece of glass. Rosh Hashanah, Rami Leila Amsei, Munine Aresha. So he would throw something at his servant, the woman who was the maidservant over here. He would throw some fish brine at her to again demonstrate his displeasure, but he wasn't angry himself. And Rabbi Abba Tover Nachtoma. And Rabbi Abba, he broke the cover over here of some sort of a jug. So in all of these, Rabbi Yehuda would say that this is a constructive act because the person wasn't really upset. They were demonstrating that they were upset, but they weren't upset themselves, and therefore, that is considered a constructive act. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say, you'd be chayiv over here for a melacha she'ena tzrich l'gufa. If you cry for a person who is an erlicha person, an adam kosher, a kodesh baruch hu, sofron, God collects those tears, and he puts them in a special place. The pasuk says that I have gathered over here in my jug over here all of your tears, and this will be a great thing for the person. If somebody is delaying, he's lazy in doing the hesped of a Talmud Chacham, then Rachmon Olsan, he's going to get buried early himself. Rachmon Olsan, Shnemar, Vayikru Oso Begul Nachal Oso Besim Naserach Hasher Behar Ephraim Mitzfon Lahar Goash. So this is talking about over here that when they buried Yoshua ben Nun. So they buried him over here. The people didn't eulogize Yeshua properly, and therefore the mountain, so to say, got angry and wanted to go and destroy everything over here. More continues and says, Omer b'chiyah barabba, Omer b'yochanan, call him is'atzel b'espedu shol chocham. If you delay, you're lazy in doing the hesped of a chocham, in a marach yomim, you're not going to have a long life yourself. Mida k'neged mida. This is the way that Kosh Baruch Hu runs the world. The way you act is the way you're going to be treated. So the pasuk says, b'sasa b'shalcha tirivena. With an exact amount, you're going to get exactly what you did. That's what you're going to be sent away. Gemara says, Esve Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan. Wait a second. Gemara says, Vayavdu omens es Hashem koyim Yoshua. The people served HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the days of Yoshua. Koyim es Kenim Asher Richu Yom Machri Yoshua. Now, you told me before that they didn't mourn and they didn't eulogize Yoshua properly, and then it says that they lived a long time. It says that the Zekenim Harichu Yomim Achri Yoshua. So that's the question that Rav Chiya bar Abba says to Rav Yochanan. Doesn't seem to follow what you just said. So Amalo, he says, Bavloi. he always, he came from Eretz Yisrael, he always never referred to the Bavloim in the most positive way. He says, Bavloi, Yomim Ha'arichu. Look at the pasuk carefully. It says, they had Arichus Yomim. However, Shonim Lo Ha'arichu. They didn't have long years. Where it says, El Me'ato, L'man Yirbu Yimechem Yimevinechem Alo Adamor. So when the pasuk tells us that you're going to have Yimeichem, you're going to have long days. Yomim Lo Shomim, is that meaning that the pasuk is not really giving us a bracha? Someone says, no, bracha shiny. When it comes to a bracha, so then it definitely will take effect. But when it comes over here to this klala, so it meant that they will only have Arichas Yomim, but they wouldn't have Arichas Shonim. Amar Chiyah Barab, Amar Yochanan, another statement that he made, in the name of Yochanan, Echod min ha'acham shemeis. If one of the brothers, Nebuch, passes away, so then yid'agu kol ha'acham kulan. Then all the other brothers should have a fear. Rashi says, yiru min ha'misa. They should be afraid that they're going to die also. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works sometimes. He wants to punish the whole group, but he only takes it out on one member of the group. All the other members of the group should have a certain pachad, a certain fear that, hey, something's going on. Likewise, echad me'achabura shemeis, if one person in the group that you're in, you're a chevra, if that person, Nebuch, passes away, so then likewise, Tidak kol ha'chaburu kula. Everybody should go and be concerned in that group because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that person for whatever the reason, but really the punishment or the kitrug was on the entire group. Amir lo demeis gadol. Some say HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes takes it out on the greatest of them, but amir lo demeis katan. Sometimes he takes it out amongst the least chashuv of all of them. So we don't necessarily learn who HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to take it out on. You can't say, oh, he took it out on him, he's the greatest. He took it out on him, he was the least important. But again, the message is that the entire group should have a concern, a worry. Yiru min amisa, they should be afraid that listen, they were supposed to be punished over here, and they weren't. They should take it to heart, and they should learn from what happened. With this, we conclude today's share.